Today we're going to be continuing in our series. In fact, this is our last piece looking at Jesus Christ in our master outlines. And today we're going to be talking about the ascension and the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The ascension is oftentimes downplayed or not accentuated within the body of Christ. And I'm not really sure why. It kind of loses focus with the cross, and it loses focus with the resurrection, because those two things outweigh it in many Christians' minds. But we need to remember, Christ is a whole package, okay? We can't discredit any part of who He is or what He has done. And the ascension is a portion that without, we would have no guarantee. The ascension is our guarantee, and I'll explain that in just a moment. Let's read together. I'm going to read this. You follow along, please. From Acts 1 in verse 1. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked Him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment, because that's the reason we've been looking at missions. That is the entire reason that we've been looking at missions through the Lenten season, okay? This is the last command Jesus gave His men and women before He left this earth that we know of. This is the account of Christ, that we would be His witnesses in all the world, from Judea, through from Jerusalem being our hometown where we are now, to Judea, the surrounding area, to Samaria, the area outside of that, that would be like your state and your nation, and then to the uttermost, to the ends of the earth. And that's why we've been looking at during the season of Lent, looking at missions, and how can we serve Christ by doing what He's told us to do. I think it's one of the most amazing things. Christians constantly walk around, "What am I supposed to do?" Well, read the book and do what He says. Okay? It's that simple. James tells us, don't just read it and be so deceived, but do what He says. So we're encouraging and asking everybody to get involved. But there's something then that happened after He gave that command. Because if Jesus would have stayed here, how effective would that command have been? How much weight would that command actually have? We need to understand that without the ascension of Jesus Christ, He'd still be here. Now, that would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? That was 2,000 years ago, and He would still be walking the earth. Now, with that reality, would there be any doubt that He was God? No. I think a person who lived 2,000 years on the face of the earth, he's better than Methuselah, okay? There's got to be something going on with this guy. But you see, if He'd have stayed, even if He'd have aged 2,000 years, we would not know Him as God. We would know Him as a man who's lived 2,000 years. His ascension teaches us something. His ascension gives us something. His ascension means something that every Christian has to hang on to. Every Christian needs to understand that just as He went, so too shall we go. Do you understand that? Just as he, I want you to repeat that. Just as he went, so too shall we go. Say it again. Just as he went, so too shall we go. Why is that so important? Because that speaks of the resurrection. The resurrection wasn't just to bring us up from the grave, but to receive us unto the Lord. For you remember when Jesus was about, we talked about his resurrection last week, and David said that, you know, the women went and they threw themselves at his feet. But the one thing that we didn't realize, because David didn't repeat this little piece, he said to them, do not hold on to me. Huh? Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet been received unto my Father. What's that mean? Folks, the work on the cross was finished, but our salvation wasn't finished yet. That's how important the ascension is. Let's read on. Verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This man Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. When you and I realize that that ascension was so important, because that ascension is the guarantee that not only has he gone, but so too shall we go, but it also guarantees us that he will come again. And that is where we live. We live in the ascension. We don't live in the resurrection. We don't live in the cross. We live in the ascension. We live in the guarantee that he went and is coming again. Because he was received unto God. Until he was received unto God. Remember, when the Israelites burnt their offering, it was not acceptable until it was sent up in smoke. Jesus didn't go up in smoke. Jesus went up in person. And he took the blood of the cross with him and placed it on the altar of heaven. That's what you and I have to remember. The sacrifice was not completed until the Lamb was slain in heaven. And that's where he went. The slain lamb presented himself before the Father in heaven, and it was acceptable unto him, and the glory of Jesus Christ was returned to him, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty ever since. And there he intercedes for the saints. That's you and me. That's how important this is. Without the ascension, we have no Savior in heaven. We have no high priest in heaven. But in the ascension, we are guaranteed a life of resurrection, a life of eternity, for the gift was acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord, or he would not have received him unto himself. And he did. And he gives us the promise that I'm coming again. Now, brothers and sisters, this is something that you and I have to grab a hold of and live in and walk in every day. How many of us walk around with our heads in the clouds? We've all heard that expression before, right? And he just walks around with his head in the cloud. Dee-dee-doo-dee-doo. What was happening to these guys? They were all standing there with their heads in the clouds. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? I can't see him no more. And all of a sudden, two men, dressed in white, came and stood beside them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up? Why are you standing here with your head in the clouds? He told you what to do. Now go do it. You see, Jesus just left, and they already needed a kick in the pants. How many of us are like that? Parents, how many of your children are like that? Children, how many of your parents are like that? That's the fair question. And my mom used to say, do as I say, not as I do. And Jesus said, do as I do. And so shall it be done. Jesus is our example. Jesus went into Jerusalem. Jesus went into Judea. Jesus went into Samaria, and by the apostles into the uttermost parts, as they then took him out, as Bill and Alida take him out of their hearts and give unto those, empowering others. You see, that's the thing I love about missions. Missions doesn't keep it. Everything they're given, they give away. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what Christ imparted unto us, to go and to be unto this world, taking the word of God and delivering it to those who are in need. Now, I don't know about you, but how big is this congregation? How many folks are here today, Rick? I saw somebody counting. 65 people. I want to see 650 people. And then I want another service with another 650 people. And then I want another service with another 650 people. Well, Pastor, you're talking about 1,900 to 2,000 people. Yeah. How big's Lebanon? We aren't done. We haven't just begun. We have a message to take to the nations. We have a word of hope that brings the glory of Jesus Christ into every life. We have a reason for sharing this because we know the hope we have, that He has ascended on high, and with it He's coming again. And there's people who are going to miss the ride, and we don't want that to happen. We need to know that my sister, my brother, my coworker, my friend, all of them get into heaven. Why? Because they, just like that young lady that we heard who was praying to the idols. How many people out there in our lives do we know are praying to idols? And some of them are in churches. Because they don't believe in the one, Jesus Christ. They believe in a religiosity. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, church never got anybody to heaven. A relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in a life changed. That's what gets you to heaven. It's not about coming in and putting your money in the offering and, Lord, I paid my dues. You and I can't afford eternity. I don't care how long you work at it. That's why He came. He knew we couldn't pay the price. He knew there was nothing we could do. We messed it up. But we couldn't fix it. And He knew that. And He came. He finished the work. And He ascended on high, approved of God. And He says, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And in His second coming, oh, that's what I want us to look at here now. In His second coming, what does that mean for us? What does that bring to us? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We know that He is coming again. He has told us He will come again. Do you know all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ up unto His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension were completed? Okay? We know that for a fact. The only prophecies that haven't been completed yet are the prophecies that concern His second coming. And the amazing thing is, we see some of them being fulfilled now because some of them are preparatory for that to happen. And we need to understand the day is drawing nigh. No, it is not for us to know the day or the time, but to know the signs, to see that it is coming, that that day is approaching fast and quick. How many of you, as you are getting older, are realizing the days are getting shorter? Okay? God, yeah, Russell's 23 and he's raising his hand. God love him. When, because you sleep too long. Well, that's a personal problem. And God will forgive you. When you and I realize that that is the fulfillment of the Scriptures, because God says that He has to shorten the days. He has to shorten the days. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day, right? He's not actually shortening the time. He makes it go by faster. That's God, because He's not held by time. We are, okay? It seems like 24 hours, but I swear to you it's not. Because I don't get near done what I used to could. But that's the God we serve. And He says, I am coming again. I am coming again. And you're going to see the signs. And one of the things, and I'm talking and not turning. 1 Thessalonians, what did I tell you? 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. When we realize that His coming again brings with it the reality that the church is going to be called to Him, that the church is coming to be with Him, you and I realize we have a very special place. Because it's not about a building. I hate to tell you this, He's not taking buildings up into the air. There's only going to be one building in the air, and He's bringing it down. He ain't taking none of it up. All right? He's bringing the heavenly Jerusalem down, but He's going to call the church. That's us. That's the body of Christ. He's going to call us to Him. Read verses 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Amen. That is the glory that we know. That is the reality that is going to happen. You know, folks, we get in airplanes and fly. A day's going to come when we don't have to worry about an airplane. We're just going to go. And what a day that will be. You know, there's a lot of theologians, they talk about it. Well, when we go, you know, what's going to go with us? Are we going to take these human rags with us? No, we're not, because we're going to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're going to have new robes. We're also going to have new names. Do you know that? Okay? And I want you to understand something about your new name, and that's why I spoke about our name a little bit earlier today, because this is important to us. God gave Peter a new name. What was Peter's name before he was Peter? Simon. Why did God call him Peter? What does Peter mean? Rock. Because He said, upon this rock, upon this Peter, I shall build my kingdom. Now, was He talking about Peter at that time, Brother Bob? No. He was talking about his faith, wasn't he? And that's what He was talking about to us. And He gave Peter that name, Peter, because Peter exhibited that very thing. Okay? We have the name of Heart of Christ. It's a name that God gave us. Do you all remember that? Please remember that. Don't ever forget that. That was not a name that we literally chose, but it was the name that God gave us. We all threw out a whole bunch of names. Y'all remember that? There was like 20-some names we had. And Pastor Rich guided you all through that because we needed to see that either we're in control or God's in control. And He gave us a name. And when you realize when God gives you a name, it's not just a name. It is something that you're to be because it's who He's declared you to be. Now, I don't know about you, but being declared the heart of Jesus Christ, that tells me I got a lot of measure to step up to, don't you? And if we're going to call ourselves the heart of Christ, then we need to be the heart of Jesus Christ, reaching out to the lost, understanding that we are living in the ascension. We are approved of God. That's what I want you to hear from me today. The ascension means that we are approved of God. Received by Him, and in that He gave us a new name, and that new name changes us forever and ever, because the day is going to come when you're going to see Jesus, and God the Father is going to say, Ishbalalalaklaboombadoo. I have no idea what He's going to call him, all right? Spell that, please. I know I wasn't speaking tongues, I just made that up. The reality is, God's going to give Mitch a new name. He's going to give Sean a new... Think about that. Your parents loved you so much. They thought about your name. What do I want to call this child? Because by this name, he'll be known the rest of his life. And we invest in those names, don't we? We plague ourselves over those names, don't we? Do you know God's been waiting since eternity past to give you a new name? The name that the Father Himself places upon you. The name that will set your nature for the rest of eternity. Just as He set the angels in heaven and set their names, so too will He set your name. And you will be, catch that, and you will be with God forever. Folks, there's a lot of people out there that don't know their name yet. They don't even know that God wants to name them. And that's where we come in. That's where we have to look at who we are as the heart of Jesus Christ. He wants to call his own. And He says that the end will not come until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So brothers and sisters, if you want to see that day when we are ascended, when you want to see that day when we're resurrected, then you need to get busy. I need to get busy. We need to get busy and start taking the word out from among our homes and our little groups, and we need to get it out there where it will do the most work, the work of salvation, because it's why we received it in the first place, because somebody brought it to us. And we need to be that send group now. I'm so glad you guys came on Palm Sunday. This is the last Sunday of this. Because that's what we're to be, is sent and sending. And as we send and are sending, I want you to think about this. I'm too old to go now. I'm set in my ways. I'm 52, and I'm going to be a preacher forever. You may laugh at that. I laugh at it every time I look at myself. But dear saint, I'm going to say something here. There's a baby in there. I don't know what God has in store for him and her, and we don't even know if it's a him or her yet, and we're not going to know until that baby's born. From before time began, God's been waiting to give that baby a name and a purpose and a plan. Which of you is praying to be a missionary? Are you thinking about God, what God wants for you, or about what you want for you? Same thing goes with you. And with you. And with you, and with you. You're already sent, aren't you? What about you? What's your name going to be? That's where it begins. The wanting, whatever God wants it to be. Where am I going to be? I got to pick on this young lady, okay? She's my son's girlfriend, so. When you met Russell and he had his little rat tail years and years ago, did you ever think that you would be in the church that he was at playing a trumpet on Palm Sunday? Why are you here? We like to think we're in control. But he ascended. He is God. And he has predestined everything to happen that is happening. And the choice that we have is, are you going to be in it and of it? Or are you going to be a bystander and watch it pass you by? Because if it passes by too long, there's no hope. But in it, we have all hope to be found in him, to be what he wants us to be. Now, for those of us who are a little bit too old, and Mitch said it, you know, you're never too old. One of the things that we need to look at, too, is the very jobs that we have may be the calling that God has for your life. He wants you to be a postal worker without going postal. Isn't it funny how we all know what that means? Yeah, you explained it to her, okay. She'll get it and say, I got that joke now. But God may want you right where you are. Terry just got a job working at the Dollar General store. Or Dollar Tree. Praise God, right? Here's a lady who's not been able to work for how long? Her health is getting better. Huh, I think we've been praying for that, haven't we? Going to be going off of Social Security, praise the Lord, in time to come here, right? Because we're not to live on these things, but it's there to be a help for us, right? She's realizing and experiencing the love of God and the power of God in her life as she is living that life of resurrection unto the ascension, which says we will be changed. Are you willing to live that life? Are you daring to dream that dream and be what God has for you to be? That's the question you need to ask yourselves, and that's what you need to set yourself to. Am I content just sitting here and being whatever I am Or is there more? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there is a more that you have no idea of. Jesus was not done here on earth. All right? Here on earth, he had not been yet reglorified. He had left his glory in heaven. And when he went into the ascension, guess what happened to him? He too was changed. Because his former glory was placed back upon him. And the fullness, the true fullness of his glory now resides upon him. Because when he comes again, he's not coming as a man. He's not coming as the suffering servant. He is coming as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And with him shall come his judgment and his righteousness and his power. And his kingdom shall be forever without end. Amen. When we understand those realities, we live in a power that is unending. We live in a hope that is for all the hopeless. And folks, this world is hopeless. We just saw a young man go into a school and stab 22 people. Praise God, nobody died. But here's a young man who had no hope. He had been bullied. Because that's what this world does, doesn't it? Knocks you down. You're no worth. You're no good. And what happens when you believe that? What happens when you have no hope? You begin to believe that reality. But Jesus says there's a different reality. You do matter. In fact, your life matters so much because other people are depending upon you coming to know him that they may find hope as well. You know, I used to think, and this is going to sound silly, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I used to think that when I became a pastor that, you know, this was going to be great. Oh, man, I'm going to set the world on fire. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to. And I turned gray quickly. Because I found out that I ran smack into sin. I ran smack into the evil of this world. And I realized, Lord, I can't do it alone. I realized, Lord, I need you. But Lord, you're also teaching me I need the sheep. Lord, I thought it was all about the shepherd. He said, no, you're just supposed to lead the sheep. The sheep do the work. The sheep is where my value is placed. You're just there to guard them and to teach them and to lead them and to guide them, to equip them and empower them, to love them and show them me in human form. But they are my labor force. They are my body. They are my chosen vessels. They are my appointed. Do you hear that? That's not me saying that, folks. Rich thought of himself. Rich had to learn. It ain't about me. It really is about you. And what God wants to do with you and in you and for you and by you. Because he is preparing you to receive the name that he has set for you. And I want you all to achieve it. I want you to understand it. I want you to know him in such a way that when he gives you that name, you're going to say, oh, yes, that's why. You know, we all ask why. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Ruth Ann, what's the answer to that question? Because so the next time you ask why, remember the answer. Because God has a plan. Because God has a purpose. We may not know it, but when you get your name, you're going to know it. Because everything you've been through will have been to come to that point when he changes you to who you will be throughout eternity. And you will reflect his glory in such a way that your name shows exactly who you are and why you've been through what you've been through. And the glory of that name will reflect upon him
You see, it is about you. It's about you and Him. Because, folks, He's coming to judge the nations. Do you know that? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. We need to remember He's not just coming to get the church. We all like to think about that and glory in that, right? We all like to think, all right, Lord, You're going to come and we're going to be resurrected and we're going to go into the air and it's going to be a wonderful reunion and we're going to see all our loved ones that have gone on to heaven, and those who haven't, we're going to forget because God's going to take that from our memories. But in verse 31 through 46, Jesus talks to us about some of the things that are going to happen when the time comes. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." Folks, how many of us look at those things as being taking the gospel out unto the people? We look at that, oh, we got to know this Bible inside and out, and we got to be able to quote that scripture to people and hit them over the head with it and convict them of their sin. No. God says, be gracious, be compassionate, be long-suffering, be loving. Take your love out into the world and give it away. That's sharing the gospel, because that's what Jesus did with us. Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You something to drink? When did we see You a stranger and invite You in, or needing clothes and clothe You? When did we see You sick or in prison and go to visit You?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Then he will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, folks, I want you to understand something. This is not the Great White Throne Judgment, okay? A lot of people read this and they think, oh, this is the Great White Throne Judgment. No. This is the setting up of the millennium. God will judge the nations. Jesus is coming back. What did I tell you He's coming back as? He's coming back as this meek and mild-mannered, oh, okay, well, whatever. No. He's coming back as the King of Kings, and He's coming back with the sword of judgment. He is coming back with the righteousness of God. He is coming back to take His place as who He is. Israel has been waiting for this day. Israel has wanted the King. Okay? When He was here the first time, they rejected Him because He came as the suffering servant. They forgot their history. They forgot the Scripture, because all they wanted was the second coming. They wanted the King to come. They're going to get the King, but in so doing, they're going to lose a lot of people in Israel, because everyone who is left alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ, those who have not taken the mark of the beast, will be separated unto God. Those who have taken the mark of the beast will be separated unto hellfire, where they will await the judgment, the second death, the second resurrection. You and I will never see the second death, the second resurrection, because we will have been in the first. For we will already be gone at this time. There is a nation judgment coming. And brothers and sisters, do you realize how hard it's going to be in Christ in that day? Because the Holy Spirit will not be here. You are going to live, if you survive it, you are going to live under persecution like you've never known persecution. And you, some of you, many of those people, I'm hoping that we will all be taken up. But those who are here who have believed will have done so at the sacrifice of everything, including loved ones. Some will have been martyred. There will be a judgment. And those who have been found faithful will come unto the Lord. Those who have not will go unto perdition.
and the millennium will be ushered in. And do you know what? That's not the end. Turn to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know, most pastors stay away from the book of Revelation, right? Most pastors stay away from the book of Revelation because that's apocalyptic writing and we're not going to touch that. You know what? It's God's word. I'm not even going to touch it. I'm going to believe it and live it and preach it and teach it and try to understand it as best I can. Now, does that mean my opinions might change over time? Yeah, as God reveals himself to me, because I'm in process also. But this is what I know from verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years, and he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. When you and I look at these words, we can understand very really that there's going to be 1,000-year period of time where you and I are going to reign with Christ, for Satan will be sealed in the abyss. Those people who have been judged of the nations will be put into hell for 1,000 years, awaiting the great white throne judgment. After the people have lived with God for 1,000 years, lived with Christ, ruling and reigning, for the government shall be his, and he shall reign with an iron scepter. You know, I think that's one of the most amazing things, because we don't realize in the second coming, he does not come back as a nice guy. Wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean he doesn't come back as a nice guy? He comes back as a king, people. He comes back saying this is right and accepting nothing less. Remember what I taught you. Jesus' coming didn't lower the bar from the law. Jesus' coming raised the bar, because God died for us. And in that raising of the bar, for 1,000 years, the people on earth will live and multiply. And you've all heard me say this before, ladies. How'd you like to be 1,000 years old and still having babies? Okay? There's a lot of guys, yeah, I knew a guy would say that. That means for 1,000 years I get to make babies. That's testosterone talking there. But we need to realize that for 1,000 years we will live here with Christ, rule and reign with him, and we will be under his government. And it's going to be peaceful, right? There will be peace because he rules with a... Please understand that. He is our Savior, and we love him. Those of us who are going to be changed in him, he will be nothing but glory to us. But for the people here on earth, remember, they are still stuck in their human will. They are still human beings. They will just simply have a body that's going to last 1,000 years like Adam and Eve. How long did it take Adam and Eve to sin? There you go. Not long. Not long. By biological understandings, less than 18 days. Okay? Because given the command to go and procreate, at her first cycle, she'd have become pregnant because she was perfect. A perfect individual. Okay? In her first cycle. Theologically. I have to look at this theologically. So in less than 18 days, the human race fell. From the time of creation, less than 18 days. Boy, we've got a good track record, don't we? How are they going to last 1,000 years? They're not. Because as soon as Satan is loosed at the end of that 1,000 years, he goes out and deceives the majority of the people, and they fall into sin once again. Do you know how many people it says will be saved at the end of the millennium? It says in the scriptures that those who fall under the shadow of Jerusalem shall be saved. Now, Jerusalem is a 2-mile by 2-mile city up in the air, okay, and it's going to cast a shadow down on the earth. How big is that shadow going to be on the earth? Might be, what, 50 miles across, let's say, big shadow, you know, 50 miles. Let's go 150 miles across. How's that sound, Mitch? How about 250 miles across? Is that good enough for you? Well, let's go 500 miles across. How many people are going to fit inside that shadow compared to the number of people on the earth after 1,000 years of procreating unabashedly? A drop in the bucket. The rest of them will fall away, and they will have known the Lord. They will have seen Him. Pretty heavy teaching, isn't it? Now you understand why I love teaching the scriptures. There's so much in there that we don't delve into because we're just worried about right now. And am I good? Is everything okay? And you know, what are we having for dinner tonight? What about tomorrow and somebody else's tomorrow and your grandchildren's tomorrow and your neighbor's tomorrow? Do they know? Because, folks, what I'm telling you is this. Outside of Jesus Christ and before the first resurrection, there's no guarantee. The only guarantee that is sure is Jesus Christ now while we are alive, an ascended Savior, a resurrected Savior, and a born-again life. And we need to get that message out there. We need to be the heart of Jesus Christ, taking the message to the nations, starting in your hometown and going to the uttermost. It begins today. Next week's Easter Sunday. All through Lent, we've been learning about Jesus. All through Lent, we've been hearing about missions. Next Sunday, we get to celebrate Jesus Christ. But the thing I want you to know right now is today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed next week. We're not guaranteed 10 seconds from now. So my thought to you is this. Knowing what you now know, understanding, Pastor didn't make this stuff up. It's too fantastical for me to make up. And it's fantastical. That's why I love the truth. You know, lies don't hold anything. Truth is so fantastical and so amazing that it holds things that you can't believe it. But yet, it's truth. And it's going to come to be. How do we know that? Because of everything that's been passed in God. We know He will be sure unto the future. Amen? But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you understand what it will be to live without Him for eternity? For He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is coming again. So today, if you've been walking that road along that tight line, saying, well, I'll try and be good. There is no good except God. And today, I'm telling you right now, you need to come up here. You need to give yourself to the Lord. Today, as Miss Sally goes up here to give us our benediction hymn, we need to receive the benediction of the Lord. We need to receive His last word. And His last word in the book of Revelation is come. Come, Lord Jesus. And we need to remember that He's come today. Youth, adults, I don't know where you are. You know where you are. And if you're walking that wishy-washy walk, you need to be up here and you need to give it to the Lord. Because brothers and sisters, I can't guarantee you your next breath, but I can guarantee you eternity in Jesus Christ. That's the most amazing thing that I've come to know about my walk. As a pastor, as a minister, I can't give you any hope in life, but I can give you all the hope in eternity for a relationship with a Savior who loves you. That's a guarantee I'll take any day. And unto you we give ourselves to the fullness of thy being. Now in thy spirit may we go from this place, being filled with your hope, your love, and your purpose, to live a life changed, to be the heart of Jesus Christ, and transform lives in thine holy name. And all God's people said, Amen.